All right. Well, we just turned on the microphone. We want to welcome anybody who may be listening at home. We got some friends in Colorado that listen, that were a part of the first Bible study Becky and I did. Becky's mother, her stepfather, some friends around the house that they could be listening online. We just want to welcome anybody online. We want to say you're blessed, and we want to tell you that you're here in spirit, and we're there with you in spirit. We got some family members in Covington that could be listening. For those of you who don't know, you can listen online live. So if you ever can't get to church, you can listen online. And don't underestimate what the Word can do for you, okay? The Word will set you free, and the Word has set me free. Amen? So we're going to talk about, you know, a principle of kingdom living today. And to me, it's probably the most important principle of kingdom living with regards to man. And I know what everybody's thinking. Every time I heard kingdom living and talk about kingdom living in church, it always was followed by what we had to do and what we needed to do to be a part of the kingdom. But kingdom living is about right believing, not right doing. Kingdom living is about believing. It's not about doing. Okay, so let me just let everybody know what we're going to talk about today when we talk about kingdom living is believing. And we're going to try and help everybody to think about what they believe, and we're going to try and get everybody to get a revelation of what they're believing and what they could be believing instead. And we're going to talk about that, and all those things coordinate with the heart. So we're going to start talking about the heart today. We're going to talk about the heart for the next few weeks. And those of you that have been in church for a while, you've heard this from me before, so I'm sorry, but this pertains right now. But, you know, I used to ask God, why isn't the body of Christ walking in the abundant blessing? Why don't I see more people walking in the abundant life? You know, and if you ask most Christians, most of them would say that it's because of sin. There's too much sin in our lives. Or they'd say that we're not doing enough. If you would poll most Christians, that's what they would tell you if you asked them, why isn't the abundant life manifesting in the church more? That's what most of them would say. And you know, what's interesting is what God told me. He said that they don't know how righteous they are. They don't know how righteous I see them, and they don't know how righteous they are in Jesus. Okay, so notice what God said to me. See, God said that the believing was wrong. You see, man would say the doing is wrong. And that's what you get. You get man talking about doing, and you get God only concerned with believing. So what we're going to concern ourselves today with is believing. And we're going to talk about what impacts our believing. And we're going to talk about how we can guard what we believe and make sure we're believing the right things. Because everything that flows in our lives or that happens in our lives comes from our belief system. It doesn't come from our circumstances. I know that's shocking for everybody, but Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life." And that word keep in Hebrew means guard. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of your heart flows the issues of life. It isn't what happens around you, okay, that is controlling your life. It's what you believe inside your heart that's controlling your life. So we're going to describe the heart and talk about the heart. But the heart, what makes up the heart is our understanding, our reasoning, our belief system, our intellect, our imagination. All those things describe the word for heart that's used in the Hebrew, in the Bible. Okay? Those are the things that comprise our heart. Did everybody get that? I'm going to say that again. Our understanding, our intellect, our belief system, our reasoning, and our minds. All that stuff makes up our heart. And that's why out of our heart flow the issues of life. Okay, and a lot of times, I know when I was growing up, I had convinced myself that what was happening around me was controlling my life. But that was the furthest thing from the truth. And the more I tried to change my outward experience, the more nothing changed. And the awesome thing is once my heart started changing what it believed, everything else around me started changing, just like that. And I'm a completely different person now than I was 15 years ago. And some of you know. And this brother over here that drove in town, he knows one of my friends from high school named Aaron. And if he gets to talking to Aaron and wants to ask Aaron about me, he'll get some stories. Praise God. Who's your niece? Oh, okay. Well, yeah, man. I go further back with Sandy than I do Aaron. So, yeah, Sandy's got intricate knowledge of the Elder Henry activity. Okay, me and my older brother. So she could attest firsthand to that also. Praise God. So we're gonna look at some scriptures today, and we're gonna talk about the heart, and we're gonna impact what we're thinking in the heart. And I like to put the scriptures up on the board for everybody to see. I'm gonna read them out loud too, and feel free to access them in your Bible if you like. But the first verses we're gonna take a look at is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And remember, we're talking about the heart, okay? And Proverbs 4:23 told us to guard our heart. And now we're going to start talking about, well, how do we guard our heart? Because you hear that, and many pastors, they just leave it at that. Yeah, guard your heart, and they walk away. And they think, whew, that was close. I'll let them figure out the spiritual part, okay? And sometimes we over-spiritualize truths here. But Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Okay, so the first hint we get to how do we guard our heart is in these verses. And the first way we guard our heart is by trusting in the Lord with our heart. Okay, and the book of Proverbs is one of my favorite books, and as a young guy, that's the book I studied the most, and it bore a lot of fruit in my life. For those of you that want a book to read and you think, what can I read? The book of Proverbs is awesome. It just so happens the book of Proverbs was written by the wisest man that ever lived on the face of the earth, and that was Solomon, King Solomon. Okay, I find it interesting that in the book of Proverbs, the word heart is referenced 81 times. 81 times the word heart is referenced in the book of Proverbs. So here's the wisest man in the world hitting us with God's knowledge, and he mentions the word heart 81 times. Okay, why does he mention it 81 times? It's because it controls what happens in our life. All right, what we believe, what we understand, all of our reasonings, they control what happened in our lives. So the first way we guard our heart is we trust in the Lord with our heart. Well, what does that mean? It means we trust in the Lord with our reasonings. We trust in the Lord with our understandings. We trust in the Lord with our belief systems, okay? Because all those things are what's going on in our heart. What that means is it boils down to doctrine, guys, and it really frustrates me because I hear this a lot out of people, and, you know, one of the biggest problems in the church, and I often thought this, but I've heard it said, one of the biggest problems in the church is ignorance and apathy, okay? And ignorance doesn't mean you're stupid, okay? Ignorance means I don't know. And apathy means I don't care. And you don't know how many Christian people that I talk to that say, I don't really care about doctrine. I don't really care what they're preaching. I don't really care what the message is. And they don't concern themselves with doctrine. And so they're just hearing and hearing whatever, all the while not knowing if it's truth or lies. That's not trusting in the Lord with all your heart. When Jesus came to the earth, was Jesus concerned with doctrine? Yes. And in fact, Jesus told everybody to take his yoke upon them. Okay? That word yoke, guys, in that culture meant a philosophy. So if you were under Rabbi Gamaliel, you took Rabbi Gamaliel's yoke upon you. Okay? It wasn't a literal yoke. It means you took his belief system upon you. Okay, so when Jesus told us to take his yoke upon us, he's telling us to take his doctrine and put it in our hearts. Isn't that where we process everything? Our hearts is like a gigantic processing center where we just process everything that happens to us and everything that we hear. And we take our beliefs from those things and we stick it on our heart. That's what we do. So guys, doctrine is extremely important. And in this church, I'm a big doctrine person, and those of you that have been coming, you've heard it. I'm drawing a clear line because false doctrine is one of the biggest ways that everybody is destroyed in their hearts. I'm going to say that again. False doctrine is one of the biggest ways people are destroyed in their hearts. One of the biggest strongholds a person can have in their life is false doctrine, a misunderstanding about God and what God's word actually says. And why do we get that? Because we don't know and we don't care what the doctrine is. I've even heard pastors say, I'm not all that concerned with doctrine. I'm more concerned with doing things. I'm more concerned with church growth. I'm more concerned with keeping my people giving or doing whatever. Manipulation is what that is. Guys, when the pastor doesn't care about doctrine, that is a key to run for the door. Jesus cared about doctrine. And guys, there's a doctrine that is the doctrine and the only doctrine, and it's called the gospel of grace. And the problem is in the church, we've taken another gospel, Paul said in Galatians, which is not another gospel at all, and we've taken it into our hearts. And now we're living our lives out of this false belief system. Okay, so trust in the Lord with all your heart. What that means is you don't take false doctrine into your heart. You don't let false doctrine come in. If it's not grace, you reject it. You know, one of the awesome things God did for me as a kid, and it didn't look like it was working out so well for me when I was young, I had a big problem listening to people telling me things. And what I mean is, I didn't believe anything they told me. When they told me things, I thought, yeah, they know anything. And I just walked away. You see, as a young man, that didn't seem like it was working out too well for me. But God was setting the stage for me to reject false doctrine so that when the time came, I could understand grace and I could speak it out of my mouth and I could speak it into people's lives. And when we leave today, before we leave today, I'm going to pray and we're going to release discernment into everybody's heart so that we can all discern false doctrine. Because that's the key to guarding your heart, is what you put in it, what your belief system is. If you believe God puts sickness on people, that's a false doctrine. If you believe that God's angry with you, that's a false doctrine. If you believe that your sin is in the way between you and God, that's a false doctrine. And what happens is if you believe those things, you live your life through those false belief systems. Every time you sin, you think God's angry with you. Every time you sin, you expect God to punish you. Every time you fall short, you receive condemnation into your heart. That causes tremendous problems for everybody, guys. And you know what an awesome thing is here with the kids is we're teaching the kids grace and faith righteousness. And how many of you know a lot of our belief systems come from when we are young? And if you get a child when they're young and you fill them with true doctrine and the truth, they don't have to overcome a lot of the things that we've had to overcome because we were hit with lies and we're battling through that. We're weeding that out. But praise God, the awesome thing is you hear enough of the gospel of grace, it's like a weed eater. It gets in there and it just starts weeding out all the weeds and it uproots all the lies. It will. And you'll be sitting there one day and all of a sudden you realize, I'm free from that and I didn't even notice it. That happened to me when I was sitting at a restaurant one night. All of a sudden it hit me. I'm free from that. And it was a traumatic experience in my life that had kind of impacted my belief system about everything. And that's another thing hopefully we'll get into. But the biggest spiritual way our hearts are negatively impacted is through false doctrine. So we want to guard our hearts from false doctrine. The other thing, which is a much more humanistic, external type of thing, anytime we experience trauma in our life, or any time we feel offense, that's a huge indication that you need to guard your heart. Because anytime you experience trauma or offense, your emotions are high. And when your emotions are high, the devil's trying to come right in with a lie. Because if he can get a lie on your heart, you'll live the rest of your life out of that trauma. And you'll be plagued for the rest of your life because you'll see everything through the trauma, through the offense. Okay, so guys, and a lot of you, because you're older, can probably think back to a traumatic event in your life, and you might be able to see how your belief system and thought processes had kind of lined up with that traumatic event or that offense that you took into your life. And you'll see how that's played out. And for me, when I was a young man, I did a lot of running, and I was in the Junior Olympics, and man, I could run really fast, and it wasn't because of me. It was because of the grace of God. And I didn't get this revelation until much later in life because I never knew why I could run so fast. But in one of the races, I was trying to break this national record in the 1500, and I was well ahead of the record. And all of a sudden, on the last lap of the race, I got what they call a stitch. I got a horrible stitch in the side of my stomach, and it stopped me to a near crawl, and I could just run like this, okay? And before that race, I'd never lost ever, and no one could even stay on the track with me. And after that race, I could never run like that before. And I always wondered what happened. You see, and something traumatic happened to me that day. And what happened was, before I got hurt, I believed in my heart that it was God that was my strength. It was God that was running the races. You see, I believed that I was alive to God and God was going to carry me through. So I just went all out. Well, when that injury happened in that race, I believed I was separated from God and it was just me that was running. And all of a sudden, I went straight down the tubes. And I still ran, but never like that ever again. And not only could I not run like that, I was getting older, so I was getting stronger. And those of you that are men understand testosterone. You start hitting puberty, your muscles get bigger. You're naturally stronger. I never ran that fast ever again, even though I was physically stronger. Why? Why is that possible? Because my belief system was wrong. I was living out of a belief system. Prior to the injury, I believed God was doing everything, and I was alive to God. After the injury, I all of a sudden thought, it was me the whole time. It was never God, and I'm separated from God. You see, a lie came into my heart through that traumatic experience, and that lie plagued me for, goodness, a good 15, 16, 17 years. It plagued my life because I believed something that wasn't true. Okay, so another area where you guard your heart is in traumatic experiences and emotional experiences where you're attempting to become offended. That's a perfect time to guard your heart, okay? And hopefully we'll get to all this, but we don't want to discount the power of our belief system. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. How many of you understand that we lean to our own understanding all the time? And we lean to our own understanding about God and His doctrine all the time. For instance, how many people come to the conclusion because they don't see one guy get healed, that must mean it's God's will for that guy to die? How many times have you gone to a funeral and heard, we don't know why God took this person? But that's not in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. And those of you that want to quote, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, that's a whole nother sermon. But in the book of Job, that's something that Job said, not God. Okay? And at the end of the book, if you keep reading, Job tells God how wrong he was and says he'll cover his mouth from now on and not say things about God without knowledge. Job admits that when he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, that he was wrong. Job admits at the end of the book that he was speaking out of his ear. He was speaking without knowledge. You know, God swooped down and said, who is it that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? And that's what the church has been doing for the last couple thousand years. We've been darkening God's counsel with words without knowledge. Why does that happen? It happens because of false belief systems. We believe false doctrine, okay? So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Don't come to conclusions about God without any hardcore proof from the Bible. Don't let things that you see with your eyes tell you what to think about God. If something traumatic happens to you, take a step back and get a word from a brother or sister that loves the Lord and let them speak into your life. Don't decide on your own what happened like I did when I decided that I wasn't with God and it wasn't God the whole time. And all of a sudden, I realized how small I was. I thought how big I was with God. I towed the line and I thought, nothing can stop me. The grace of God is in me. And then after that injury, I towed the line and thought, I'm just weak and separated and little Greg. That's what the devil wants us to think, guys. There's two types of belief systems we have going on here. We have God's belief system and we have the devil's belief system, okay? And make no mistake about it, the world's belief system is the devil's belief system, I hate to break it to everybody. The world's belief system is the devil's belief system. He's the prince of this world. You know, and we blow the devil up like he's doing so many things to us. He don't have to do nothing no more, because the whole world is spewing forth his belief system. So once he gets his belief system in your heart, he can just step back. The devils and the demons ain't having babies, guys. So there was a fixed amount of devils and demons way back in the day. There's monumentally more people now. There ain't a devil or a demon for everybody on the earth. There just isn't. The devil is much weaker than we try and give him credit for. He's got a few things he can do to us, and they're all internal through our belief system. That's where he attacks us. He attacks us in our belief system, and then he gets his belief system manifesting in our lives. That's what he does. And the biggest way he does it is he perverts doctrine. Right now he has the church preaching law instead of grace. So he has all of our hearts filled with law. Do this, do that for God. If you don't do it, God's going to be angry with you. He's got all of our hearts filled with lies about God, and that manifests in our life. It's easy for him. Now he can just kick back. The devil's not coming to you with a pitchfork and horns. What does it say? One of the ways he comes to us is as an angel of light. Guys, and there's a lot of pastors who are just preaching from ignorance, so I'm not saying that all the pastors who aren't speaking the truth are angels pretending to be angels of light. What I'm saying is, way back when, the devil perverted the gospel of grace with angels of light. And he perverted it way back when. And many of the pastors preaching now, they're not preaching from a malicious heart. They're just preaching from what they were taught. And it sounds good, doesn't it? It sounds good to go do this for God, go do that for God. It sounds good for us to think, well, God doesn't want me to sin, so if I sin, he must be mad at me. That sounds good to our flesh, right? We think that makes sense. That's the devil's belief system. That's not God's. God says to him that worketh not, but believeth on me, he is justified. Belief is what makes us righteous, guys, not doing. Doing doesn't make you righteous. How much sin you have in your life is not what makes you righteous. That's the devil's belief system. The devil wants you to think that your belief system be works righteousness. You know, many people get this confused, but, you know, 666 in the Bible, the number 6, it's the number of man. And so 666 is man, man, man. When you go to church, don't you hear about you and what you're not doing? And what you should be doing instead of hearing about God, God, God? You know, when it says that they'll be marked in their hands and in their heads with the number of 666. And, you know, the Bible and the book of Revelations is filled with symbols. And a lot of that stuff is symbolic. And what it's saying to me is that the people that are marked with the beast are the people who are about their own intellect and their own strength, the work of their hands and the work of their minds. You know, what's funny is the Lord recently started showing me this, but idolatry in the Bible, because I used to think, how'd they commit all this idolatry? Idolatry in the Bible is worshiping the works of your hands. Guys, idolatry is worshiping the works of your hands. If you're worshiping your good and bad deeds, that's idolatry. That's idolatry. If you think your sin plays a role in your righteousness, you're worshiping your works. You're worshiping the works of your hands. I'm going to say that again. If you're worshiping your works, whether they're good or bad, you're worshiping the works of your hands. That's idolatry. You know, the children of Israel and all the people that worship gods, they had to make them. They had to make them with their own hands. You see, and that's very symbolic of what the whole Bible is about, which is the works of man and the works of God. And we have it from the very beginning. We have Cain and Abel. We have one who wanted to be judged by God's work, and we have one that wanted to be judged by his own work. And it goes on through the whole Bible. Abraham is a clear example of his work and God's work. Abraham brought forth Ishmael through his own effort. God brought forth Isaac through his effort. That's throughout the whole Bible, guys. That's what it's talking about. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. In all your ways, acknowledge the gospel of grace. In all your ways, acknowledge what Jesus did on the cross. And that will direct your path. That will keep your heart clean. It's the gospel filter. It filters out all the false beliefs. That's what we're talking about here. The false beliefs that get in our heart. If you wonder whether or not God loves you, that's a belief system from the devil. If you've ever heard that you're cursed because you didn't give, that's a belief system from the devil. If you start hearing that you're cursed, you're going to start believing you're cursed. And then you're going to start living out of your life in a curse. You know, the book of Galatians in chapter 3 says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us, for he hung on a tree. One of the reasons why he had to hang on the tree is because cursed is every man that hangs on a tree. He had to take all the curses for me. So guys, there's another clear-cut belief system. Did Jesus take my curse, or am I cursed if I sin? If you believe you're cursed every time you sin, then you're not believing the truth. You're not listening to the truth. The truth is not in your heart. And then you're living out of a lie. And when you live out of a lie, your life is going to manifest those lies. So that's what we're talking about here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. How many ways do you acknowledge him? All. All. That doesn't mean you wake up and say, should I have eggs and bacon this morning? You can if you want. You can talk to God about that. He'll talk to you about anything you want. But you don't have to get up and say, should I wear this clothes today, God, or should I not wear this clothes today? But you can. The primary point of this scripture is talking about doctrine, okay? Trust in the Lord with all your doctrine. Make sure you're hearing grace, grace, grace. And it's real easy to determine. If you hear somebody preaching to you about your performance and what you need to do for God, that's not grace. That's performance. It's performance. You know, your ear will get fine-tuned, and my ear is fine-tuned now, and I reject performance. Every time I hear it, whoop, I can't even stand it because I saw what it did in my heart. I saw what it did, and I see what it does to people everywhere that love the Lord, and they don't know why they've been beaten down. It's because they've been taught false doctrine, and curses have been put in their hearts from false doctrine. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. And, you know, the charismatic movement, and praise God, look, I came from the charismatic movement. There's a lot of good things from the charismatic movement. But the charismatic movement kind of got us way over in the left field concerning warfare. And every single thing you saw in a person turned into, cast out that spirit. Cast out this spirit. Cast out this spirit. If a person had a problem smoking, go cast out that devil of smoking. Go cast this out. You see, but what God says is guard your heart. You see, God says it isn't a doing problem, it's a believing problem. There's a problem with something they're believing in your heart. So the point, guys, is that the warfare we're supposed to engage in is all within our hearts. The devil is not coming at us externally. He's coming at us internally through our belief system. That's where the battle is taking place. The battle is taking place in our belief system and in the doctrine that we hear. That's where the battle's taking place. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That word carnal means fleshly. And what it means when you look in Thayer's is external. Okay? The weapons of our warfare are not to battle things that are external, guys. The devil ain't showing up and putting a whammy on me. Okay? The devil can't show up today and give me any sickness. You know why? Because I know I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I know grace. I know that I have healing. I know that Jesus died on the cross for me to be well. He can't show up today and put sickness on me. You know why? Because my belief system in my heart won't accept it. It won't accept that lie. My heart says, no way, buddy. Did you see the cross? Go look at the cross some more. Go look at the glory in the cross. See, my heart knows that. So in order for the devil to do anything to anybody, they got to be believing wrong. That's the only way he can get to you. The church today, by and large, does not preach that God wants everybody well. And so the church today, by and large, is sick Because they're operating out of a false doctrine. They've been taught that God wants them sick. They've been taught that God is punishing them with sickness so that he can teach them something. It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. Let God be true and let every man be a liar. Let God be true and let every man be a liar. God's not putting sickness on anybody to teach anybody anything. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And why does the devil want you to think that? So he can get you sick. So he can make you sick. It's a fiery dart. It's a fiery dart. If your belief system is grounded in the gospel of grace, every dart the devil hits, it won't even get to your body to bounce off. There's a huge force field that it just bounces off of. It can't get to you. I haven't been sick in 4 or 5 years. And oftentimes I get to thinking, wow, that's crazy. And you know, every once in a while I catch myself because the devil starts trying to tell me it's because you eat this and it's because you do that. And I have to catch myself. Do you see him trying to pervert my belief system? Making me think it's my works? Does everybody see how the human psyche gravitates to what we do? Even me, I know the gospel of grace, but every once in a while my thought tries to tell me it must be because you do this. It must be because you do that. That's not true. It's because of the gospel of grace. The gospel of grace is life. It's life. Disease can't live in oxygen. And in this analogy, the gospel of grace is oxygen. And it will kill any disease you have living in you. It will kill it. It will stomp it out. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not external. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The obedience of Christ. I know what a lot of you guys are thinking because I was raised on performance too. When you hear that, you think you're supposed to be obedient to Christ. Isn't that what you think? Isn't that the first thing you think? Guys, that exposes where the devil has our hearts through false doctrine. What that's saying is to bring every doctrine, to bring every thought that you have to the obedience of what Christ did on the cross and what happened when he was resurrected from the dead. That's what that's talking about. That's bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ. It doesn't mean that you go stop sinning. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about bringing every doctrine you have into the finished work of Jesus. Did the Lamb of God come to take away the sins of the world or not? Amen. That's the doctrine. Well, if the devil tries to get you to believe that God's angry with you because you sinned, doesn't that contradict that the Lamb of God came to take away the sins of the world? Was Jesus resurrected from the dead? Okay, did he take death captive when he did that? Did he bear every sickness and disease on his body? Did he bear all of our griefs and pains? Then that's what we're supposed to bring all of our thoughts into captivity to. Glory to God, we don't know about the finished work of Jesus. We don't know about the cross. We don't know about the resurrection. And so we let all these doctrines and thoughts manifest in our hearts that contradict what Jesus did. And then we wonder why we have bad results in our life. We wonder why things happen to us. It's because we have taken the belief system of the devil and we've got it in our heart. And the devil is very subtle, guys. He don't come to you and say, I'm the devil, this is going to destroy you. Right? We see it all the time. I was watching a tennis match this morning. I'm not trying to knock this guy because I like this tennis player. But it was a 6-hour match and it was the championship. And these guys have been playing for 6 hours, okay? Well, at the end of the match, the one guy ripped off his shirt that won, and he started. Do you know what he was doing? He was glorifying his works. We tend to think like that. That's the devil's belief system. Works, 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 works. Perform, perform, perform. That's the devil's belief system. That's not grace, okay? Grace and works are on the opposite ends. One is man's strength, one is God's strength, okay? If you believe that your sin is destroying your ability to be blessed by God, then you're trusting in man's works. You're trusting in man's works. If that's what you believe in your heart, you're trusting in the works of man. There's no other way to put it. If you believe your good deeds cause you to be blessed by God, You're trusting in your works. It's both sides. It's the good and the bad. There's only one thing that allows us to be blessed, and it's the works of Jesus. It's what Jesus did on the cross. It's what God did when he raised him from the dead. That's what allows us to be blessed. That's the doctrine God wants us to have in our hearts. God wants us to have this concept of him in our heart. And we got a word today in church about that. And he cry out for God as Abba, Daddy. How many of you think of God as Daddy? How many of you think of God as the Almighty God who I must stand away from, else I be smitten? How many of you have been taught in church that if you're not living right, God's going to smite you? That's the doctrine of devils. It's the doctrine of devils, guys. It's the doctrine of devils. See how prevalent it is in our society? Does everybody see how prevalent that concept is? Well, if you're living out of that concept in your heart, it doesn't produce life. It produces death. It produces death. So the weapons of our warfare are meant to cast down all these imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's what it's meant to do. And what is it trying to bring everything in line with? It's trying to bring everything in line with the finished work of Jesus. Guys, the thing you want to concern yourself with is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And how can I see Jesus more? And how can I see what he did in the Bible? That's really what you want to be concerned with. You want to go to the Bible and you want to see Jesus. You don't want to see yourself. If you're being preached about you, you ain't hearing the word. I hate to break it to you. You ain't hearing the word. If people are preaching to you about you, that ain't the word. That is not the word. I'm going to read a couple quotes here. And this is from Charles Spurgeon. And he was a famous preacher back in the 19th century. I think it was 1832 to maybe 1894 he lived, something along those lines. And he pastored one of the largest churches in all of London. And it's at one point it got up to like 10,000 people. But here's just a couple of quotes along this topic. Spurgeon said, "Nothing makes a man so virtuous as belief of the truth." Belief of the truth. If you want to have more virtue in your life, get to your believing. Start hearing about right believing, and then you will become virtuous. Don't focus on the doing. Focus on how you're believing. Here's what he said. "A lying doctrine will soon produce a lying practice. A man cannot have an erroneous belief without having an erroneous life." Everybody hear that? A lying doctrine will produce a lying belief. A man cannot have an erroneous belief without having an erroneous life. Everything that's gone wrong in your life boils down to a wrong belief. Everything. Everything. That's what Proverbs 4:23 says. "Guard the heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life." This is hard for humans to accept. But if you lined up 10 people and you put them through the same experience, how come they all come out telling a different story? How come they don't all come out and say the exact same thing? You see, because they all have a different belief system in their heart. And they all see everything different. And so each one of them, even though they went through the same thing, is going to have something different to say. You see it all the time in war. You see some guys that come out of war and they think, they'll tell you that was the greatest thing that ever happened to them. And they would be in the same troop as somebody else. And then you'll see another person that's tormented greatly by their experience. It's because of a belief system in their heart. And we're not against anybody that has a wrong belief system. We all have areas of wrong belief system. That's why we want to hear grace and not works. Grace weeds it out. Try and get through some of this stuff. But how does the devil attack us? He's only got a couple of ways to attack us. And the way the devil attacks us is by judgment and condemnation. He gets us to buy into judgment and condemnation. You know, before Jesus came and died on the cross, the devil could go up into heaven and he would accuse God of all his people. And that's why in the book of Revelations, the devil is called the accuser of the brethren. He accused God. He would tell God how unrighteous we were and how horrible we were. And he was doing this in the book of Job. But when Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected, the devil no more had access into heaven. And he couldn't go up into heaven anymore and accuse the brethren. So guess who the devil started accusing? Us. You know what he started telling us? You're just a sinner. Your sin is greater than what Jesus did on the cross. He started telling us condemnation. God's angry with you because of your sin. God's cursing you with sickness because of your sin. God doesn't love you because of your sin. That's what the devil is attacking us with. That's what he's doing to us to get us off track. And in the book of Revelations, and I love giving you guys symbolism, but in the book of Revelation, the dragon that comes at the woman and opens his mouth with a flood against the woman. There's a lot of symbolism in this, okay? And it goes back to the law of first occurrence. And when was the flood first mentioned in the Bible? Is when God flooded the earth with Noah. So the flood represents judgment. Okay, the woman in Revelations represents God's people. And what is the dragon attacking the woman with? He's opening his mouth with the flood. He's attacking her with judgment, condemnation. Judgment and condemnation is the antithesis to grace. That's how the devil attacks you. He gets you to believe you're not righteous. He gets you to believe that Jesus didn't do on the cross what he did. He gets you to believe false doctrine. He attacks you with judgment. That's how he attacks you. That's the only way he can attack you, is out of his mouth. He throws these darts at you. If they don't stick, they can't impact your life. So Ephesians 6:10 and 17 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Guys, that's doctrine. The weapons of our warfare, that word weapons, it means armor. And it's the same word that was used in 2 Corinthians 10. It's the same word. The weapon is doctrine. If your doctrine is pure, if your doctrine is right, the devil can't do anything to you. If you're grounded in the gospel of grace, the devil can't do anything to you. It bounces off. Having your loins girt about with truth. What did Jesus say? "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." If you don't know the truth, how can it make you free? The truth doesn't make you free by itself. You have to know it. So when it says girt your loins with truth, it's talking about doctrine. "And having on the breastplate of righteousness." The breastplate of righteousness, guys. Righteousness is a doctrine, okay? There's works righteousness and there's faith righteousness. Which doctrine do you believe in? Do you believe you're righteous by your faith, or do you believe you're righteous by your works? Notice what it calls that. It calls it the breastplate. Where does the breastplate guard? Your heart. The breastplate guards your heart. The doctrine of faith righteousness, grace, guards your heart from everything the devil can get at you with. He can't do anything to you if your heart's guarded with grace. It's impossible. That's doctrine. That's what he's talking about. "And shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." That, again, that's a doctrine of the gospel of peace. God has peace with you now. That's a doctrine. If you believe that there's a wall between you and God, if you believe God's angry with you, that's a false doctrine. If that's in your heart, you're living your life through a false belief. That's corrupting your life. God has peace with you. Me and God are like this. I used to tell my friends that when I was young. You know what's funny is I wasn't living right at that time. And they'd all look at me like I was crazy because they come from the South. Hey, look, I came from the South. In the South, they really teach you if you ain't living right, God is against you. I mean, how many of you heard that? That's what you heard. You know, I used to always tell them as we were doing things that didn't seem so godly, me and God are like this. And you know, it was God already bearing witness in my heart that even though I hadn't come out of it yet, him and I were like that. You know, and God calls those things that aren't as though they were. So you don't become righteous to be called righteous. You are righteous. And when you understand that, then you become. God didn't tell Abraham he was the father of many nations after he was. He told him before. before. So guys, all these things that he's talking about in Ephesians, the weapons of our warfare, put on the armor of God, it's doctrine. He's talking about doctrine. All these doctrines he's referencing are doctrines within the gospel of grace. So we protect our hearts and guard our hearts with the doctrine of grace, the gospel of grace. So guys, this idea in our society, who cares about doctrine? Who cares what I expose myself to? That's what's ruining your life. That's what's destroying your life. It isn't what's happening to you. It's what you believe in your heart about God. That's what's destroying your life. Praise God, that's one of the greatest things that set me free, was understanding that I was going to reject all that and I wasn't going to hear it. And this is hard for people to hear, and it sounds weird coming from a pastor, because you think, hey, I'm starting a church. Why would a pastor say something like this? It's better to not go to church than to go to church and hear false doctrine. That's a fact. If I was preaching false doctrine, run for the hills. In 10 years, if things look like they're going good, and all of a sudden I come into this church and start telling people they're cursed with a curse if they don't give, that's your cue to run. That's your cue that I've lost it. If I start coming in and telling you, you got to do more for God to bless you, you got to live right for God to bless you, that's your cue to run. That's for any pastor, guys. Any pastor. That's what he's talking about. Do not lose sight of the power of doctrine. Do not blow it off and say, well, I can get something from everybody. No, you can get a whole lot of curses. You go listen to false doctrine. And you could go get that planted in your heart. You know, God has given me an extraordinary ability to guard my heart. It's true, he has. And I know there's other people that take in false doctrine easier than me. But even me, I will not listen to false doctrine for more than a couple of minutes. I might listen to something just to see what somebody's saying in some area, just for a moment. But I won't listen to it too long after I determine that's performance. It's off. Don't fool yourselves. Don't let the devil fool you. You know, he fooled Adam and Eve. What did he make them think? And where did he attack? He attacked their belief system. And he made them think they'd be greater with their own knowledge and works. He said, you'll be more like God if you do this. Isn't that what we hear from the church? You'll be more like God if you do this. That's how the devil tricked Adam and Eve. That's how he got them off into performance and works. It's the same thing today, guys. It's the same thing. He attacked them on their belief system. He attacked them in their heart. That's where the devil's trying to attack everybody in here today and everybody in the world. He's trying to attack you in your heart. He can't get to your heart if your heart is grounded in the gospel of grace. All those CDs over there, they're all grace. You won't hear anything come out of my mouth that isn't grace. I'll kick myself before something will come out of my mouth that is not grace. You will not hear human performance come out of my mouth, ever. All those CDs are free. Everybody's welcome to take whatever they like for free. Take it. Don't listen to doctrine that is false. It is hurting your heart. It's destroying your life. Your relationship with God is the most important thing in your life. And if you take in false doctrine, it's being destroyed. That's what's killing it. Our website, all the materials on the website for free. Listen to that. Praise God. You can listen to it online. And it isn't just me, guys. There's a lot of preachers being raised up right now that are going to preach grace. And I'm just going to have to cut this off now, and I didn't even get to the last part of this, but praise God. God is good, and sometimes you just say what he wanted you to say, and don't worry about what you plan to say. Amen. So we're just going to say a little prayer. Father, we just thank you that you care so much for us, that you gave us your word, and that you told us to guard our hearts. And not only did you tell us to guard our hearts, you told us how to guard our hearts. Lord, we thank you that you love us whether we guard our hearts or not. Praise God. But we thank you that you love us too much not to give us a hint as to how to guard our hearts. Lord, not just release a supernatural anointing for discernment, for the discernment of false doctrine and for the discernment of lies into everybody's heart. In the name of Jesus, amen.